was just thinking, just teasing, because he says someone bought a ticket from right after he was typing in his credit card number, and I pointed to him. I said, "One way." No, we love him. Big guy. Praise the Lord. John 10:10. You know where John 10:10 is? That's in the New Testament. It's in the Gospels. At one time, I didn't know of John 10:10, but I think these guys over here, they know John 10:10. These guys over here know John 10:10. Praise God. Do you guys know John 10:10 yet? You guys? Not yet? Well, you will. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Bible school students can't find it yet. Oh, yeah. The Lord told me. John 10. The Lord spoke this to me this morning. And John 10:10. Let's go ahead and read it. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Three things: steal, kill, destroy. He said, that's what the thief comes. He says, I am come, and he contrasts what the thief is. That's the devil. And he says, I am come, that's Jesus, that they might have life. That word life is the Greek word zoe, Z-O-E, zoe. And that word means the God kind, or the God kind, or the kind of God, kind of life God has. What kind of life that God has? That's the question. And notice he begins to tell us what that life is all about. That they, he's still talking about they, that they, he says, I have come that they might have life, and that they, the same people, might have life, might have more, have it more abundantly. Abundantly. Now the Amplified Bible says, the thief comes only to steal, in order to steal, to kill and destroy. I came that they might enjoy life. Everybody say, enjoy life.
Enjoy life.
If we're not enjoying life, somebody said, you better check up, you're probably on the wrong road. Doing the wrong thing. Say, enjoy life. Ask yourself a question. Are you enjoying life? Can you use a little bit more joy? You know, you could be, listen to me, you could be in any kind of different situation, even in the bad situation. God will bless you right there if you get on track right away. If you say, God, listen, I've been on the right, wrong track, and I'm getting back up, I'm getting out of here, I'm getting away from what I'm supposed to be, you know, out of this situation, and I'm going to get better. God will come there, right there in your heart, change your life, and begin to change things around.
That's right.
He said that you might enjoy life. Notice that, not just enjoy this life, that, and have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. That's a lot of joy, man. He said, why is all these people happy around here? Like, I don't understand why they're laughing so much. Well, haven't you heard of joy? Haven't you heard about Jesus? Yeah. Amen. You know, people that, the happiest people on earth are people who know Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. They know Jesus. So the Lord said to me, anything that is of sickness in your body, that's the devil working, trying to steal. If there's any kind of tragedy in your life, it's the devil. Any kind of poverty in your life, any lack, it's the devil. Any kind of confusion and disappointment, that's the devil. But joy is from God. Abundance is from God. God wants you to have not just peace one day, but peace every day. He wants you to have, you know, all your needs met 24/7. I mean, we have such freedom that we can just get in the car and go to the, wherever, Dairy Queen, go have some ice cream. That's a good idea. We'd have ice cream, right? I'm supposed to stay away from sweets, and but I'm free. I can eat sweets if I want. We had this thing, you know. We stop eating bread and all these kind of things, you know. I haven't eaten bread for a couple of days. I'm hungry. I'm losing some gorgeous figure. Now, listen to this. So the thief comes to steal. So the devil, anything you got that's precious that God has given you, he wants to steal from you. Whatever it is, relationships, you know, even friendships that you have, that the devil wants to get in there, destroy it. He wants to get rid of everything that makes you happy. If you're happy about something, you know, the devil will come in there and say, you know, you shouldn't be that happy. Something bad's going to happen. Anybody ever had that experience? The devil say, well, you're too happy, man. I know something bad's going to happen to you. Yeah, you shouldn't just, you know. I remember people saying that, and I actually went through that where I said, you know, I shouldn't be happy. Oh, I better watch it. I went to one church one time, and I said, you know, the devil, man, he's a liar and all that. The guy said, you should not say that. you just watch it. The devil just come. He's going to do something. And I got kind of scared, but on the outside, I said, no, he ain't. But on the inside, I was scared because, you know, I didn't know anything about the Bible, like the students know about the Bible now. But you know, you can resist the devil. The devil will come there in your life, and he'll try to steal from you everything that's good in your life. If you got anything good in your life happening, I mean, you guys got a lot of good happening in your life right now. I mean, you got a place to stay. I mean, you know, right? You know, nobody's after you, right? Cops not after you? Not yet, if they know where you are. But anyway, they're not after you. You know, if you go downtown or somewhere, you're not afraid some dealer's going to look for you. Anyway, you know, whenever I used to see policemen, even for many, many years, I used to kind of duck. Or I used to get tense, start having a cold sweat. You know, and I don't know because, you know, that takes a long time to go away from you. And I woke up the other day, I told my wife I had a bad dream. I think I said, maybe the Lord's talking to me about something. I kind of relapsed on some area and Oh, my Lord, and I felt so bad. But it's good to have one of those dreams because you know what it's like. And sometimes you can forget when you're enjoying good things. Amen? You start enjoying stuff, then you forget about God. So the devil, okay, so it says the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But how exactly does he do that? How does he actually come and steal? How does he come and destroy? How did he come and kill? You know, killing is ultimate. I mean, if he could kill your health, you know, destroy different things, and there's people that are sick. You should thank God for your health right now. Say, thank God that I'm healthy. Say, thank God for divine health. Say, divine health is the best. Say, I like divine healing. But divine health is better. That means you don't have to get sick. You know? And thank God that we can pray for, you know, different things. Now let's go over here, a scripture verse that the Lord also gave me. In 1 Peter chapter 5, some of you know the scripture by heart, but just don't trust yourself. Now, how does the devil come and how does he come and steal? How does he destroy? And how does he kill? What are the things that he, how does he do that exactly? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go over here and read maybe a few extra scriptures to actually get to their point. Now, verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yours unto the elder. Now, elders, they're talking about pastors, leadership. You know, Peter saying, I'm also an elder. You know, hey, you elders, you leaders, I'm talking to you. But also, I'm also talking to, you know, anybody in leadership. He says there, verse 5, you younger, submit yourselves unto the Lord. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another. Be subject to one another. He says, I'm looking at two versions here. For God resists the proud. Okay, before that he says, yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Amplified verse 7 says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties. Everybody say, all of my anxieties. So not just the easy ones, but all your anxiety, everything you have, you're anxious about, cast it upon him. Now, when you cast it upon God, the moment you cast it upon God, he takes it. He's very serious about his word. If you give him a care, he's going to take it. He doesn't give it back to you. He doesn't say, you know, listen, this is too much. You can handle some of the small ones. I'll take the big ones. No, he'll take them all. Everybody say all. See, God wants to take every one of your anxieties. You know, somebody said if you're anxious, you're thinking about the future too much. Is that true? Thank you very much. Thank you. I've been competing with that for a long, long time. And God sent you directly tonight to make sure that that is okay. And that man beside you too. Amen. Okay, so casting all your anxieties. What else it says? You got the Amplified? Casting all the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Notice this. How many times? Once. So that means sometimes, here's how the devil works. You cast your care upon the Lord, then he comes back to you, tells you, he suggests things to you, he tells you that, you know, that listen, that you ought to be worried about that. You ought to be really worried about it. You should pray harder. I'm serious. That's what he says. I mean, it's you know, you think, oh, yeah, I got to pray hard, you know. I see people do it all the time. They start, oh, I got to pray hard. You know. Then they look for somebody who can pray really hard and give some of their cares on them. And he says, all your cares, all your... So he wants to disturb you so much. You see, these cares, these anxieties, these worries, these all these things over here he's talking about. Let me just look at it again. He says, all your care, your anxieties, your worries, your concerns, once and for all in him. Let's go to this is the Amplified. For he cares for you affectionately. What does that mean? Then he goes, ooh, you come in here. Oh, you little baby. No. Well, he likes to hold you in his hand. That's how God is. You know, I'm going to go home after and pet our dog. He's, oh, poor little poopy. Oh, you, come on here. Come here, poopy. Ooh. Eh? I mean, you know, if you didn't see somebody for a long time, you know, God is like that. He goes like that. He wants to hug you. He wants to kiss you. And God cares for you. Like, if you're feeling bad, he says, oh, come here. You know, God is wonderful. He's like, if you think about him, if your father's like that, if your father's not like that, maybe he ought to be more. And so he's affectionate towards you. And you should be affectionate toward God. You know, when you're worshiping Sunday morning, you say, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I love you. I want to tell you how much I appreciate you. He loves that. You say, God, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If I told my wife, I love you. I love you. I love you, honey. I love you. No, you know, we ought to be a little bit more affectionate, right? Come on, guys. You know, I mean, you talk about, you know, love. You know, we want to express, you know, that's why it's so important that God's looking for people who worship him and just love on God. The devil doesn't like that. He wants you to get stiff. Right? Because, you know, the Bible says in John 4:24, he's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Because somebody, if you just say, thank you, Jesus, 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 thank you, Jesus. Well, hey, come on, let's get some emotion involved. Come on. You know, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, 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 my soul. I don't know. I don't know how how that goes, but you know, come on. Bless His holy name. How does it go? Seems like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Somebody said, you know, we should all sing, but not all of us should record. That's why. But we could all sing like that. So, you know, we all got emotional here for a second. I saw people getting excited, man. They started pulling their hair and, you know, because God, you know, they were just excited about God. See, the devil, he don't like that. He doesn't like us to get emotional about God, but we should, you know, and not be ashamed about it. But he wants us to, we should get into the spirit. See, the devil, he wants you to get into your mind to start thinking about these cares, these worries, these anxieties, and says, you know, you got to pray really hard and start thinking about this, how you're going to solve that. No, but if you give your care to God, if you really give your care to God, say, if you name any kind of care right now, if you have some kind of kinship, this is how the devil works. That's how he's going to kill and steal and destroy. That's how he gets to your life. He'll remind you and keep reminding you. He's relentless. He'll come back to you. He'll tell you, suggest things to you. Then you start feeling a little uneasy. Oh, you know, just your heart starts racing. Then you start, you know, you're getting ready into a good worry again. But, you know, we need to train our soul to bless the Lord, oh my soul, right? Worship His holy name. So when you're having this worry, you got to kick right into it. Like I think you said, you know, it's all about the Word of God. Get back into the Word. Because there's a time. See, the devil, he's going to come. That's his motto. His M.O. is to come, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he can do that. Like somebody said, deception. I heard somebody said deception. He come in there, and he'll just squeeze himself around you and suggest something to you like it's actually, you know, that it's normal to worry. Listen, people, it's not normal to worry. It's not normal to have all kinds of worries. The world will tell you that. Oh, yeah, man, you better get worried about that. You know? So, concerns. To have all these concerns. And so the devil wants you to have lots of concerns. To worry about a lot of this stuff. To be concerned about things. To have worries, anxieties. Have panic attacks. And I was just reading something there. One of my friends on Facebook said, I got all this anxiety. Just a new friend I had just recently. I got all these anxieties. I've been having attacks. The doctor tells me, no, I got this kind of disease. I got... you know, I got that disease that goes up and down. What is that? Yeah. Well, of course you're going to be up and down. If you think like that, you'd be up and down lots. And you know, he comes in and kill you, steal you, steal and destroy. And it takes a while. It takes discipline to stand on the word. But it's going to change you. It will change. You'll change. Like you say, well, you know, you're not a doctor. I'm not a doctor, but... you know, I have the Word of God on it. I'm not going to change if I talk to a doctor, medical doctor, but this is the Word of God. The Word of God is going to change you. Like you say, hey, you know, I do have this. Yes, you have that. You diagnosed me that, but I don't. That's not the final say here. And so the devil wants to suggest something to you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's how he comes in your life, is through all these anxieties and all these worries and all. And pretty soon, you know, you got yourself a good worry. You got a good anxiety attack. And he tells you, you got an anxiety attack, but a next one is going to be really bad. You'll end up in the mental ward. And you're going to stay there for a while. And that's how it gets to people. I've seen people in my ministry that kept telling me, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. Pray for me, I can't sleep. And over, so every week, finally, they, after many years, many, many years of saying that, they died. And they make themselves crazy. Went crazy. But you know, you have to say, anytime the devil talks to you about stuff, you say, no, I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. I believe that God supplies all my needs. I believe that I have a long life. I believe my mind is my mind. Amen. I believe that God cares for all my needs and He's taking care of it right now. If you're wrong here, devil, I want you to know that. You have to fight back. Pastor Steve showed me a little book by Mark Hinkins, it says, never run at your giant with your mouth closed. That's referring to 1 Samuel 17, where David ran at his giant, and he said, you see, what I'm going to do with you, I'm going to cut your head off today. I'm going to feed your body, your carcass, to the fowls of the air, and I'm going to do that today. And you need to talk to your giant. Talk and speak. Jesus said, isn't he the one that said, you got to speak to your mountain? He didn't say, let's worship your mountain. Your mountains are all your anxieties, all your troubles, all your anxiety, all your concerns. And so you have to stop looking at the mountain and begin to speak to it that it's got to move. The devil will try to come in there and he'll try to kill and he'll steal and destroy. That's his MO. He hates everything about you that's good. Any blessings you have. And when you're having a good time, don't forget about praising God. And there's a scripture over here in Deuteronomy 8:18. The Bible says it's God who gives you the power to what? To get wealth. And he also says when you in chapter 6 there, he says when you get blessed, I want you not to forget to remember me. Don't in chapter 8:2 he says, don't forget to remember me. I'm the one that's helped you out. You know, we should never forget. I told the guys the other day, I went last Friday night. I had some free time Friday night, so I went and to an AA meeting. I shouldn't say that on television. I did go to an AA meeting. I mean, I broke my anonymity. I broke his once in a while, but everybody knows who he is. He's not on TV. I'm on TV. They don't see you. But anyway, I went just to listen to the stories again. So every once in a while, I haven't drank for, 42 years, 43 years. Alcohol, I haven't taken any drug, haven't sniffed anything. Amen. I haven't done anything. Amen. I haven't taken any kind of thing that would just make my, in fact, years, I haven't even taken any kind of medication. When they said, take your medication, I said, no, I'm not taking that. You get high on those things. When I went to the ORR, I came out of there, they cut me open, cut my mouth open, and they gave me these huge pills. They're 600 milligrams each. They said, okay, take about three of them, you'll be all right. But you can get caught up in that. But I said, I only took it one time. But the next day I took it again. It was getting bad then, I tell you. My faith needed a little help. But thank God. You see, the devil, let's go read some more. He said, casting all your cares, and verse 8 says, be sober. You know, you could be drunk. Everybody says, be sober. He's talking about being sober, being in reference to being so full of your care, your word, of your soul. It's so heavy, and so you're so drunk. And Luke says people are so drunk with the cares of life. If you looked at it in the book of Luke, he said people are so drunk with the cares and anxieties of life, and that's what the devil does. He gets you so inebriated, so drunk, and so full of the things of God. That's why the Bible says, be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, when you're drunk with the Holy Spirit, everything's funny, eh? You know, your car is on fire. You lost your wallet, you know. I remember my dad used to come home at night after midnight. You know, he gets a taxi home, comes home. And he puts all his money out there, his wallet's out there, you know, whatever, watches. He said, Dad, can I have all that? Oh, yeah, go ahead and take it. Yeah, have it all. Take all that money. But the next day he gets up and says, where's that money? He said, you gave it to me. Dad, you give it to me. I want that money back. But so he was so drunk, he was so generous. You see, when you're so drunk with the Holy Spirit, nothing bothers you. See, the devil, he gets you drunk with the things of the world, with the cares of that, you know. He can make you so full that you can't see straight. People are so full of that. Now, here's what it says here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. See, he could devour you only if you are not vigilant and you're not sober and you don't understand your adversary and how he works in your life. So your adversary, he's going to do some things to try to steal from you and kill from you and kill whatever you have in your life. So, you know, I've had some serious things happen in my life over the years. Had some serious problems. So I need to understand in my own life how to resist the devil. Some of you, I don't know whatever you went through. And good night, boys. Make sure you go to bed right away. So yeah, good night. So you have to understand this. Make sure that you're going to stay strong in the things of God. Because there's one day you're going to think, you know, especially when you're in real difficulty, that, you know, it can just stress you right out that you forget about all these scriptures I'm telling you right now. Everything I'm going to say right now will just go straight out the window. You just freak right out. Lose your cool, lose your head, and then you're not stable on the word. And I'm glad, you know, Kelly, you got that you're stable. No matter what happens in your life, everybody can go to hell. I mean, I don't want to talk about that. Not literally. I'm just saying, when everybody goes crazy, then you say, no, I'm standing right here. I'm going to stay on the word. I know the car is blown up and we have no money, but I'm here. What's that scripture over in the barns be, what is that scripture? The fields didn't give any wheat and whatever, fruit, and whatever. The cattle are dying, whatever. Habakkuk 3, yeah, the last few scriptures there in Habakkuk. In fact, let's just go read that for a second. I know there's no hockey game tonight, so you guys can stay here. Habakkuk chapter 3. I can get it faster on this thing here. Let's go to the scripture. I want to show you something, because the devil is trying to steal and kill and destroy. So Habakkuk chapter 3. Oh, I'm on the wrong thing here. Come on. Don't fail me now. Habakkuk chapter 3. Now you got it? Okay. Do you have it? Verse 17. Chapter 3:17. Watch this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Let me just look at this. Can I look at it in another version? Let me just give you I could give amplified, but let me just read it for fast reading sake. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit on the vines, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fall or fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and yet there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The next verse of scripture says, okay. Is that it? Verse 17. Okay. Anyway. So, there's a time in our lives when we want things to look good on our life. We want to see, you know, the natural come into manifestation right away. So you still have to continue to praise God. No matter what happens. No matter what happens in your life. So right now, Miss Kendra is going through a real difficult time. Kendra, I want to let you know God's strengthening you. I was praying for your dad just before I came here. I said, God, give this man, you know, wisdom. Give him a solid revelation of who you are. You're the healer. Like, you know, you got to pray. Whoever you're praying for right now, you got to pray that their eyes will be open. Because you can't reason with everybody all the time, but God can. God can get to somebody and reason with them. There's a time in your life when you cannot reason with anyone, even yourself. Because if you try to reason yourself of things, how things are going to work out, you're going to lose every time. That's why we need the scriptures to help us shape our thoughts. And the devil, he's going to do everything in your life to disturb you emotionally and mentally, to get you off track, That's what he wants. I'll close with this last scripture, 1 John 5. Just to remind you that these three scriptures for sure that God gave to me. 1 John chapter 5. See, the devil is going to disturb you so much emotionally. He's gonna get to your emotions. That's why we sing this song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul." That's telling you to get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of, when he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And when the psalmist says, you know, I'll bless the Lord with all my soul. I will do it all the time. That means you have to get a hold of your mind. You have to grab a hold of your thinking. You got to grab a hold of your emotions and set it on the affections of the Lord. If anything else, you have to say, "God, I want to just worship you right now. You're the one that's making everything change. You're changing my situation right now. I'm putting my faith in you right now. I'm going to be stable, and anything happens to me, I know you're going to stabilize me. Even if everybody dies around me, I'm going to be stable. I'm still going to be strong because I'm putting my affections on you." You got to do it. Now, 1 John 5, 4 and 5 says, "Whatsoever is born of God," I'm reading the King James, "whatsoever is born of God," that's talking about you and I are born of God. We're born of heaven. We're born again. "Overcomes the world." In other words, we who are born of God, we overcome the world. Okay? So watch this. "And this is the victory." Everybody wants victory. "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." In other words, your faith is what's going to make you overcome. Your faith, what you believe, where you set your affection, and not, he didn't say your feelings are going to overcome the world. He doesn't say your mind is going to overcome the world. It says your spirit, by your spirit, your faith in God is going to make you overcome no matter what the difficulty is. I have to stress this so much. Verse 5, "Who is it that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God." So we have to say, like Pastor Steve said earlier, that we have abundance. We are rich. But you say, "Well, you're talking about my. I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm not talking about how much money you got in your pocket. I'm talking about what God said about you." That's why there's people who have no money. They can build big ministries. That's why Brother Hagin had no money, and he built a multi-million dollar ministry by trusting God. That's why David, as a young man, can destroy a lion and a bear when he didn't have kung fu. No kung fu training or anything like that. So we could overcome. If you had to wrestle a bear, Frank, when you go to Ipimatong, as you call it, Big Ipimatong, Abamating, Mabadogadang. I don't know, whatever. I'm trying to my best because he's French, and say that, you know. But if you had to wrestle a bear, Frank, you'll do it. But don't go try it without the anointing. Okay? We don't want you all scratched up. Right? It's true, right? You say, if you had to wrestle a bear, I'd wrestle a bear if I had to. First of all, we gotta find our way home. So the victory, see, this is the victory that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So here's the deal. The devil will come to try to kill and steal and destroy. He's going to work at your emotions. He's going to pick at your mind. He's going to suggest things to your mind. He's going to upset you when you start thinking about the bad things. Then your emotions are getting off whack. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. This will save your life. It'll save you from dying. It'll save you from losing money. It'll save you from making bad decisions. They tell you, "Buy this right now. Buy this right now, because it's the only one in town. You'll never see this deal again." They say, "You got to marry that girl. You got to marry the girl. This is the only girl like this will ever come in your life. If you marry her now," so then you try your best to go marry her, and you even try to marry her when she doesn't want you to marry her. And so you're upset because She didn't want to marry you. And God says, don't marry her anyway. I mean, you know, like you have to put some sense in you. And we've talked about that earlier, my wife and I. You know, I'm glad she didn't marry those men that she had before. You know, she married me. She married me. Right? It sounds like she had lots of men. But anyway, she just kind of went around. Sorry, honey. No, she didn't have a lot of men. Okay? So anyway, because sometimes people, they feel like there's nobody for them. And let me tell you, God, there's somebody for everybody. Just not that same guy that you want right now. So you say, like, they say, well, I'm going to believe for John over there sitting across. He sits over there in the second row. I love John. Lord, I'm going to claim him. Yeah, but then Auntie Sue on the other side, she's claiming him too. And little Susie over here in the fifth row, she's claiming him too. Well, who's going to get it? Whoever has a stronger faith. No, it's just that, you know, you have to believe God, trust him, that he's going to send you somebody who's going to be right for you. When I met my wife, can I tell you the truth about it? This is what your son tells me. Pastor, I'll tell you, can I be honest with you? And little Joe tells me, he sits in my office. Can I be honest with you? He says, he's a little guy sitting in my office. My wife, when I met her, she just had, you know, I don't know if she came from the gym or not. Her hair was tied up, some rope or something. And she had gym clothes on and everything else. And said, we were walking around in the school. You wouldn't recognize her if it was her. But she didn't come. She wasn't all dressed up. What am I saying? I'm saying that, you know, that sometimes you're looking for somebody, you're looking in the wrong spot. You're looking for the answer, like whatever it is, money you're looking for tonight, whatever it is you're looking for, your healing tonight, might not be the way you think it is. I'm going to stop right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping me. I want to thank you tonight for all the wonderful stories that people have given us tonight about their victory. Thank you that the devil will not steal and kill and destroy. So the Bible says we can resist him with our faith. First Peter 5, you know, says resist him in your faith. I want you to stand up right now. I want you to resist the devil. Let me see you resist the devil. What does resist mean? It means, you know, you're going to push back. Resist means you're going to push back. What do you mean? You're going to push back the thoughts. I want you to resist every thought that the devil put in your mind. Just begin to put it out to God. I don't think that those thoughts are not from you. Anything that steals, anything that destroys, anything that discourages me, anything that makes me afraid, I'm resisting that right now. I don't accept that. I don't accept sickness, disease, or I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to lose it. I will not lose my mind. I'm not going to lose my job. I'm resisting that in the name of Jesus, because the Bible says I'm abundantly supplied. I'm rich. I'm rich. Listen, rich is coming to you right now. Rich is coming right now. It's coming to you right now. It's coming to you. Rich is coming to you. Everybody say, I'm rich. Say, I'm healed. Say, healing is coming. It's walking over to you right now. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. By faith, because why are you praising? Well, I'm praising because 1 Peter says that. I'm saying that he supplies all my needs. Philippians says he supplies all my needs. I'm fully supplied. Hallelujah. I have no want. Psalm 23 says, I have no want. Oh, I have no fears. Thank you, God. I will not fear. I will not fear. I'm not going to have any anxiety attacks. I'm through with having anxiety attacks. Say that to him. I'm through with it. I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to carry any worries. I'm not carrying any concern. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Some of you tonight, when you go to bed, the devil says, listen, you know, all that stuff that he talked about, that's not true. When you're all alone, you're going to tell me, hey, listen, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I told you once I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do it. He's going to try to do that, Paul. He's going to come and tell you, you're not going to make that. That's not going to happen. No, you said, hey, listen, no. I'm trusting God. I believe his word. He never fails. I trust him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, let me pray for you right now. Father, I pray for all these people here. I'm standing in faith. He said, you two shall agree on earth. So I believe in victory in your spirit, in your soul, in your body. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every assignment the devil has planned against them to steal, to kill, and destroy. So right now, we command him to get his hands off their homes, their lives, their body, their money, their relationships, their jobs, and their, whatever that is causing them disturbance in Jesus' name. So we command him to get your hands off that in Jesus' name and let them go. Loose the children. Loose the boys and girls that he's trying to get to the families, to the kids. I command those spirits who's harassing the families to I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Command you to go. Command you to go. And so we send forth the angels of God to go forth and cause the blessings of God to flow in the lives of these people, in the families, in the children. And we give you praise in advance because we believe it. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. Amen. Say, I believe it. Hallelujah. Now, just do a little dance. Praise God. Hey, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Come on. Poppy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Bless you. You have a good evening. Praise God. If you're watching online, I want to let you know that God loves you and that he's planned something for you. And if you prayed the prayer of salvation and said, Jesus, I believe you're the Savior of the world. Come into my life. Save me from my sin. I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. And so now I'm yours. I trust you and believe you that things are going to change for me. If you said that prayer and believe it, you are now born again. If you need any assistance and help, thank God. We want to send you something to help you. If you write to us, you can message me by on Facebook or Messenger or even send me an email, and I'll help you in the name of Jesus to be blessed in the things of God. We'll see you next time. Goodbye. And make sure you send us a note. Hallelujah.